Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
Hey folks, TFG and Mike here. This is episode 144 of Studio 2009. This is for Live Free or Die Hard. So when Steve Megatron and I recorded the Die Hard 3 and 4 episodes, you would have already heard Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance in episode 143 of the podcast. When we recorded these two episodes, initially I was so excited because I wanted to go on a rant about the phrase that's going around in the current culture of this insert topic here didn't have to go so hard. Well, we record these things at 10 p.m. Eastern time at night. Normally, I'm very, very, very refreshed at night, and I'm really ready to go, and I'm raring to go and revved up, and I'm usually on the ball with my numbers when we do double recordings and everything else. So, apparently, my brain decided to take a left turn and decided to screw it up and decided to throw all that into the 1995 Die Hard with a Vengeance recording. So, I cut it out and I put it here. So, you're going to hear that first. And then, after that, you're going to hear the Die Hard Live Free or Die. I want to call it Die Hard 4.0 because that's what it was called in other markets when Live Free or Die Hard came out in 2007. I think Die Hard 4.0 is a better name. I get it. They wanted to go for the Yay America 4th of July and Live Free and Die Hard and America is great and everything else, which America is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm very patriotic and all that. So, but yeah, I just wanted to throw this in here to tell you that, hey, this little clip, this little 8-minute, 9-minute clip is going to be first because I cut it out of the other episode. You're going to hear that. And then we will get to the film of Live Free or Die Hard. In this episode of Studio 2009, we are almost over with the Christmas in July series of 2025 of the Die Hard films. Steve and I have had a blast recording these. It has been awesome, and we can't wait for y'all to hear them and enjoy them. And coming up next after this, we've got my buddy Sean returning. We are going to be doing the Fast franchise for the rest of the summer for August and stuff like that. So thank you for listening as always. And yeah, here's Studio 2009 episode 144. Coming up next.
I just sent it. You should have it.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Aaron, are you sure this is legal?
We're just running a test in our security system, sir. It's fine.
You have a sexy voice. Is there anything else I can do for you? To you?
We have what we need.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Yes, folks, the year of 2007 in cinema went hard.
That's what she said.
I hate that fucking trend that's going on right now. These soft ass kids today, this soft ass, I'm sorry to start the show like this, folks, but I have to comment on this. And this is the only current show that I currently produce that I can do current events with this. Like, I literally pulled up 2007 in cinema because I was curious, and literally 2007 is stacked. The top 10, and the only reason why I'm bringing this up,
I'm giggling from my own perspective, and it's just
I'm gonna ask you your perspective in a minute, but I have to do this because oh my fuck, like it's Instagram, man, it's friggin' Instagram. Every scroll I see on Instagram, every reel, every whatever, it's like they'll post the anything from the 80s or 90s, anything. They'll post the Transformers theme song from Generation 1 from the 80s, Season 1, Season 2, Season 3, whatever. They'll post Beast Wars. They'll post that theme song. They'll post DuckTales, the original 1987 DuckTales theme song. And the caption in the video, because they won't change it, it'll just be the opening theme song. And how, like, you want to talk about copyright infringement. How the hell are these people able to post these theme songs as they are on Instagram without the Disney? DuckTales is Disney. How Disney is not coming after these Instagram accounts is beyond me, but yet you post any of this shit on YouTube, holy crap, the band hammer comes off on you. Anyway, I know we're supposed to be here to talk about the Die Hard Christmas in July, whatever, but it's just, it's pissing me off. But the caption for this will be, "This insert here didn't have to go this hard." That's the line. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, you poor dumbass Generation Z child. Like, do you, like, did your parents not teach you well enough? Did your parents not raise you right? Like, what the hell?
So,
and it wasn't, go ahead. What's your take on this? Because my take is just like, and this is just my fist, folks. I'm too old and too fat to actually put my head down on my desk. But imagine this is my head against my desk like it was 15 years ago when I used to do my head desk thing. That's all that I can do right now is like, oh my God. It just incredulity at this whole thing of didn't have to go this hard.
So it's a slang term.
I know.
From the Gen Z kids.
I know.
It's funny. I'm just saying kids. I'm like, hey, young whippersnapper, get off my lawn. It's like, that's, not that long ago, I was a young kid and you were like, you know, Gen X and I'm millennial. Yeah, but, so yeah, it's but, funny. But so anyways, basically this, it's, it have to go this hard is slang, and it means that someone is putting in the maximum effort, intensity, or excellence, often unexpectedly or impressively. So in other words, they're saying that the stuff that we grew up on, the stuff that we're, you know, nostalgia, you know, yeah, discussing on nostalgia is so good that, yes, this phrase doesn't make any sense of saying have to go this hard. I mean, it's like the 90s thing of going extreme, you know, with everything. So this, they're saying maximum effort, intensity, or excellence. So it's, while the phrase is odd, as are a lot of shorthand versions of things that kids say now, because my kids are like Gen Alpha or whatever and saying this crap.
Yeah.
So learning the lingo is interesting enough, but it's basically a phrase where they're saying, you know, praising it for being exceptionally good, bold, and intense. Like when they say this song didn't have to go this hard, this song is way better than expected.
See, it doesn't you know, sound like that to me, though. It sounds like they're like, oh my God. Like
it implies their admiration and wow, they really gave it their all. And yeah, so while the phrase sounds ridiculous itself,
yeah,
the sentiment behind it
is good.
Is good. And so, okay.
All right.
They're making it sound like we were blessed to have been given such awesome material, whereas the okay, crap that they're handed is just total garbage by comparison.
Yeah.
Which screams to the fact that the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s were peak everything.
Yes, yes, they were. Speaking of the early 2000s, we are going to brief at some point, probably next year in 2026, we are going to be bringing back the movie box office episodes of Studio 2009, where we compare various years of the box office. And like I said, 2007, oh man, just the top 10 alone. Spider-Man 3, Shrek 3, Transformers, Pirates at World's End. I forget if that's the third, fourth, or fifth movie of that. Order of the Phoenix from Potter, I Am Legend, The Bourne Ultimatum, National Treasure, Book of Secrets, Alvin and the Chipmunks, and 300. That's just the top 10. I scrolled through this entire, the entirety of the Wikipedia article here, going through the entire year of 2007 looking at everything that was released, and I'm just like, wow, yeah, 2007 was completely just fully loaded, because yeah, wow. because we're sitting here talking about
technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Lucy McLean.
It's not McLean. It's Gennaro.
Chicks, right?
This intro has already been recorded, but just in case you didn't understand the mix-up, we are inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. This is Die Hard 4.0. At least that's what it was. That's what it was in other countries, because other countries didn't want to live free or die hard. I actually like 4.0 better because it ties into the whole internet culture of live free or die hard. It makes more sense to me. So anyway, we're going to die hard as we can. Finally, we're back with John McClane. Now we got a choice. The choice is plain. We can live free or we can die hard as we can. From taking on a terrorist he's never met to taking on an F-35 jet with the greatest car explosions by far, this sure looks sweet, man. And we now know what the basic gist is. There ain't no Alan and it's not Christmas, thank God. And we don't know, but we're pretty sure that John McClane kicks ass. And it just goes into the chorus, yippee-ki-yay, we're gonna die, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And that's how the fourth verse in the song ends. So yeah, Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, this movie, holy crap, this movie was released years ago, 2007. As you already heard our whole spiel at the very beginning about 2007 in film, as I mentioned, outside the U.S., it was called Die Hard 4.0. And the plot of this one, it's basically show everybody what it would be like if America lost everything. But again, at the end of everything, it's still at the end of the whole fire sale, it's still, I want my money.
In other words, didn't matter.
Nope, didn't matter. Whole thing, just a distraction. Trying to think, where was I June 27th, 2007? I'm pretty sure I did not see this in theaters. I know in 2007, I saw a couple of movies in theaters. I don't think this is one of them, though. Did you see this in theaters?
I did not. I don't remember what I was seeing in theaters around that time. Granted, I know I was working at a car dealership and I was broke. Yeah. A lot.
So Lucy's all grown up now. And in this one, we have John, who is. He's. Where is he working? Is he at L? Is he in LA or is he in. Good. Where is he? Oh, he's back in New York. Because he's like, oh, this is a favor for New Jersey or something or other. So he's tasked with bringing a high-level computer hacker's request local law enforcement to bring in high-level computer hackers nationwide. NYPD Police Detective John McClane is assigned to New Jersey to pick up Matthew Farrell. And as he arrives, assassins are sent to kill Farrell. So yeah, and that person who's assigning that is Thomas Gabriel, played by Timothy Oliphant. And then the movie just goes into, oh my god, guns everywhere, car crashes, helicopter crashes. It's not as violent as I mean, it's violent because it's a Die Hard movie, but it wasn't as crazy as I remembered it being. I don't think it's as crazy as, like, each of these films, you would think that they would amp up the craziness. This isn't that crazy.
No.
I mean, these four films, they have their escalatingness of crazy, but like, I don't know, like, yeah, the F-35 jet, that was a little crazy, but not, I mean, but the same level of crazy as you know, Arnold on the jet in True Lies. I mean, same damn thing.
True.
So that's the whole point with this plot here, is that McClane has to keep Farrell safe. As they go through it, it's all about computers. It's all about hacking. It's all about this, that, and the other thing. And they have to stay safe. And they have to either stay on or off the grid. And they have to fight the bad guys. But the bad guys are usually one step ahead, kind of a thing. Some of my notes include in the beginning of the movie, when all of the hackers are being contacted by the bad guys, that's a sexy voice. Oh, Maggie Q. Now she, I've only seen her in several things. This is the, barely. She was, okay, so I would say that this was the this is the second thing I saw her in. But she was in Mission Impossible 3. That wasn't her debut, but that was she was first in her, I would say her famous debut. She played a girl in a car in Rush Hour 2. She was then in Mission Impossible 3. She's been in other stuff in between that, but again, I'm trying to cut to just the famous stuff. Live Free or Die Hard. She was in Deception in 2008. These are just the films. But really, after the Live Free or Die Hard thing, where I found her again was a TV series in 2014-2015. Where she played the lead role, Beth Davis, Michelle Weber, in CBS's Stalker, which did not last very long at all. But she was a character in a Need for Speed video game in 2008 called Need for Speed Undercover. So that's the main places that I've seen her in. And the last thing she did was a film called The Family Plan in 2023. She hasn't done... Oh, no. She's Detective Renee Ballard in Ballard, which is an American Police procedural television series from this year. She's the lead role. Interesting. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I mean, this is basically John older, very bald. No more hair for John. They even make a joke about that. And when they made the joke about it, when Farrell made the joke about it, I'm like, but he used to have hair. Like, you know, 20 years ago at the time. At least in the first film he had hair. Oh boy. What were your thoughts on Live Free or Die Hard?
I could feel that it was kind of happenstance that he just got roped into this. Like, oh, all of a sudden, like, he's messing with his daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Makes her mad. And then you're like, okay, I know she's getting roped into the situation here.
Yep.
And then you get down the rabbit hole and he's getting to call, you know, Farrell, and you're watching all these guys die, and you're like, okay, well, the one that lived, Captain Mac there. And so, you know, that was interesting among its many other things going on. Then the fact that he's trying to understand it, and then you get this whole tirade about, you know, him. He's like, man, all the news is rigged and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, it was funny because the thought came to me during the last, like, I don't know, 6 years.
Yeah.
So I had fun with that clip. But the absurdity in some of the explosions, like the tunnel thing, and then him throwing, you know, he's like, they threw that at me. I'm going to throw a car at him. And he throws a car at the,
yep,
at the helicopter and takes it down. And he's like, they threw a freaking car at the, helicopter. And
yep.
So, I mean, it was entertaining on that front too. And then all the back and forth, and then the insults that he throws back and forth, and then he gets Maggie Q thrown down an elevator shaft and throws that in his face.
Yep, he does.
And then, of course, tricks the, you know, captures the daughter, and
Yeah, no, I like this one. It's a good, interesting movie to see where McClane is at this point and have to see him dealing with the modern day, because he comes from a day where there was no technology. And it kind of goes back to the second movie where Al was like, oh, and faxes, and well, Holly said I should wake up and smell the 90s. Well, you got to wake up and smell the 2000s now, John, kind of thing. And I really dug this one. I really enjoyed this one. You pretty much took all, which is fine, you took all my notes, but one of my notes was, because I did all that look up about 2007 in film, because 2007 in film was crazy. Just, oh man, looking at that list, it was just crazy. But Justin Long's filmography, man, just, it's nuts. He debuted as Brandon in Galaxy Quest in 99. That was his debut in film. And then he went on to do the Jeepers Creepers movies. He was Justin Redman in Dodgeball. He did Herbie Fully Loaded in 2005. As you mentioned, in 2006, he was in Accepted, which, wow. Holy shit, college sucks. I did not know he was the voice of Alvin in The Chipmunks. That's crazy. And more recently, he was in Spin the Bottle last year. Doesn't say what he did, but he was TBA. He's supposed to be in Shrek 2 Retold. I don't know what that's supposed to be all about, but yeah. He was in an episode of The Neighborhood this year. I didn't recognize this when I watched it, but he was the voice of Roboto in Masters of the Universe Revelation in 2021. Hmm. So that's interesting. So, yeah, but Justin Long still, to me, always going to be the Mac from the PC versus Mac.
Oh, 100%.
Always. Like, I love the guy. He's a cool guy, and he's awesome in the movies that I've seen him in, but he's always going to be the Mac. Always the Mac. So, but yeah, let's see what else did I already do. I forgot what the F-35 fight was like. I thought the F-35 fight versus John was going to be a little bit longer than what it was. But again, you have that same kind of explosion where John ends up in a closed quarter thing, and you have this giant fireball coming after him. They can't help themselves.
Well, I like that he just kind of giggled about the whole situation, and he's like,
yeah.
And he's like, gonna throw this at me, gonna throw a truck at me, I'm gonna throw a car.
Like, that's right. Yep. And this was Timothy Olyphant 7 years after Gone in 60 Seconds, because Gone in 60 Seconds, he played a cop next to Delroy Lindo's Detective Castlebeck. I forget what the cop's name was that Oliphant played in Gone in 60 Seconds off the top of my head, but he does play a great villain. because the way he talks to some of his minions, I'm like, oh boy, I wouldn't be that guy.
Yeah. He's like, get it taken care of.
That's right. Yeah, get it done or you're gone. There are a couple of times I thought he was going to kill some of the guys on the ground. Like that guy that kept calling him saying, well, it's kind of done, but it isn't really done. What should I do now? Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out later and then you'll. So yeah. But live free or die hard. Yeah, I was very satisfied at the end of this movie, both when I saw it initially years and years ago and now, and I am perfectly fine stopping right here.
I felt like that was like our Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yes, very much so.
I was like, okay, we went further. We saw what happened to John. We saw what happened to, you know, his daughter. Okay.
Yep.
I felt like that was kind of like, okay, we've hit peak here. There's nowhere else to go.
Yep. Because really, honestly, like we knew he had two kids from the first movie and the second movie, but the son was never like, it was always about his daughter. It was always Lucy came to the phone or Lucy did this or Lucy did that. I don't even remember they ever said his son's name in the other movies, in the earlier movies.
I think they did, but they it wasn't like a big, did,
but yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It was just like, okay, but you know, Lucy's daddy's girl and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. All of a sudden, you know, 11 years ago now or X number of years ago now. Oh, about Jack, blah, 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 blah. Jack's over in Mother Russia and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, fuck. Here we go. I don't know. But live free or die hard. Oh, what I stopped myself from saying in episode 143, I'll say here. The only thing that I thought of, and I'm probably not going to give this movie a 5, but when I was thinking, when I got mixed up last time, that I was saying that the only reason why that blah, blah, blah would not get a 5 is because of this, this, and this. The only trepidation I had going into this is because of one specific cameo role in this, and I knew it was here because it's a plot point of whatever, but it's fine. It's not that big a deal, but it's only because of my disdain for this person in real life nowadays, not for the way the person was back in 2007, but the Kevin Smith cameo. I'm like, oh, God, get this guy off the fucking screen. But the Warlock character wasn't that bad. And,
well, what, like you a big fan of the Fat? No. He's always more of a Star Wars guy.
Star Wars kidding. Guy? Who is this man?
He's my... Hey, dump truck. I'm not his dad. I'm a cop. How about that?
Oh, I'm a police officer. Cop. I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
Why'd you bring a cop into my command center?
Command center.
It's a basement.
It's a command center.
Don't help McClane. I can explain.
Just tell us what you know about Thomas Gabriel, all right? That's why we came here.
Thomas Gabriel. That's hey. Cool. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Get out. I want you out of here, right now.
Hey, why? Hey, calm down. Just calm down, big boy.
You calm down. This is my house.
You're going to tell me what I want to know or I'm going to beat you to death in your own house.
I liked how his and John's interaction was at the end when he was talking to him about Lucy.
Freddy, it's John McClane. Look, I know you can hear me. This is your frequency, right? 666. Come on, pick up the mic, Freddy.
Nobody here by that name, sorry.
Pack a jerk off!
Warlock, I need you to do whatever it is you do to patch me through to the FBI, to Deputy Director Bowman.
You hear me?
Are you serious? You want me to intentionally open up a comm line to the head of the FBI Cyber Division? I don't think so.
Freddy, goddammit, they have my daughter!
I can do that.
And I'm probably going to use that whole exchange about, but Ma, it's, you know, it's your command center. It's a basement, dude. Like, I love that. I love that exchange. So I know I'm kind of being a hypocrite here, but it's just like, oh, I'm sorry. Whenever I see that dude's name attached to stuff nowadays, I'm just like, oh, God. I don't know. It's just the way I am. I can't help it.
No, and I agree with you. I didn't really much care for his role in the film.
I mean, it was all right. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I don't. Yeah. I kind of over him. Like, I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care. Exactly. But, like, the character was fine for what he was in the film.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, no. Like, I had, like, like we said, this is pretty much a button on it for us. But at the end of this, I was like, oh, I could kind of see it going this way or that way. Or they could do this or that if they wanted to do another film, maybe 2 years after this or a couple of years after this. Not in 2013. Not like when you have a franchise like this. And look, we know 95 to 2007, that's a little long in the tooth. But, like, I don't know. It is what it is. And we'll come back and we'll do the fifth film. And, like, I haven't even looked at the plot on Wikipedia about the fifth film because I want to go into that so cold and just so, like, I want to have my most honest, raw reaction to that movie because, like I said before, I've never seen it. Other than the two trailers that I sent you. And all as those two trailers are to me is, oh, hi, Jack, I'm here to save your ass. And then all of a sudden, all these explosions and guns and whatever, because that's all apparently the Die Hard franchise is by the fifth film, is it's just explosions and guns and no story, at least according to that trailer. But yeah, no, Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, absolutely still love it. I would probably give it, in comparison to the other three movies, 3.5. I want to give it a 4, but I'm going to give it a 3.5. I don't dislike it, but I like, I don't know. I like the other ones more. I don't know.
I'll probably give it a 4. Just because I enjoyed majority of the film. The follow-up is the one that I'm like...
be prepared, folks. I don't know what we're going to give the fifth movie, but... oh, boy. And I just don't know. It's not even that I'm like trying to go in there with... like, I just don't know. That's my thing. Because I don't know anything about it other than what I've seen from the trailer, the two trailers I watched. I'm not reading about it beforehand. I don't want to know the plot. I don't want to know anything about it. I want to just go in. And it's kind of like with Die Hard 3. Even though I remember With a Vengeance, I had completely forgot Summer in the City from Love and Spoonful opens that movie. And I was had a completely genuine, like, oh, okay. Like, I was excited. I was like, okay, let's go. I'm into this movie. And I was excited and I was this and I was right. My notes, and I was like, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened. I like this, I like this, I like this. Oh, they did that. Okay, whatever. Like, that's what I'm going into Die Hard 5 with. Yeah, I don't like the whole yippee-ki-yay Mother Russia bit, but that was just in the advertising. It is what it is. Fine, whatever, I can get over that. But here's hoping for a good day to like Die Hard.
I could see that, but yeah, I'm not optimistic for the next film. Not at all.
Oh, boy. All right. Where are we? What are we doing? Oh, boy. We gave the ratings. We did that. We did that. We did we go to ad break? I don't even remember now.
I don't think so.
Screw it. This is the fourth film. We ain't going to no damn ad. We don't need no stinking ads around here. All right. Anything you want to promote? Anything? Don't you have a book coming out or something?
I do have a book coming out August 8th. And it is about podcasting and my journey in it and a lot of things for newbies and veterans alike to take reference of. And yeah, it's going to be for sale on Amazon, on Kindle, on barnesandnoble.com. And I'm hoping in Barnes & Noble itself, among like libraries and other places that I'm still waiting on the distribution platform to kind of iron things out the rest of the way.
Very cool, very cool. Please tell me, chapter one, page one, line one, all caps, get your own website, period.
It's not the. It's not that. No, it's my journey, but yeah.
I know. I know. I know. All right. What's it called? What's the price?
So it's called Altered Audio Podcasting Demystified, and it's $9.99 for the digital, and it's $15.99 for the standard book. I honestly wish I could have put it lower, except there won't be any because of fees of everything.
Right.
But it is 140 pages, and I do give some kind of templates, prompts at the end of the book, and some terms, and I list out a bunch of different, as of right now, podcasting platforms and things you should know when you're building a site and, you know, all of that. So there's a lot of information in there that it's like trial by fire over the years. I'm in another podcasting group with RSS.com who hosts our shows, and I'm in there giving a lot of notes and tidbits. And so a lot of this was birthed from that and just people asking me questions constantly in my daily life, plus a lot of the events that I go to discuss podcasting. I'm like, you know, I really should write this into a book because I'm going to forget more than I know.
Yep, absolutely.
So at least with this, I can update as needed.
Absolutely, 100%.
New additions, you know, in the future. But yeah, it should be pretty complete for what it is. I literally added stuff to it like 2 weeks ago, like right before I ordered my proof from Amazon. And I should be getting my Barnes & Noble proof pretty quick here, probably before this episode airs.
Well, depending on how fast I get it edited. But yeah,
that is true.
Probably. All right. Well, there you go, folks. Altered Audio Podcasting Demystified from Stephen C. Phillips. There you go, folks. Go get that. Coming up here in August 8th, 2025, geekcastradio.com. Check it out. Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com where you can buy our stuff, t-shirts up to 4XL, mugs, mouse pads, and a bunch of other stuff. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @ItStudio2009 for the show. I am @TFGOandMike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Join us next time when Steve and I will be finishing up Christmas in July with A Good Day to Die Hard. For now, I am TFU and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
McClane! Stay with me.
Dad!
On your tombstone, it should read, always in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Elbow. Yippee-ki-yay,
Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.